First, just briefly, tomorrow is August 15th, the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. In a normal year, it would be a holy day of obligation, though falling on Monday, the bishops have dispensed with the obligation. But it is still a holy day, an important day, and I hope you will join us for Mass at 5:30 in Old St. Mary's. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If you are what you ought to be, you will set fire to all the world. Beautiful words from St. Catherine of Siena. Now, in the scriptures, the image of fire is often associated with God. God's very presence is sometimes manifested by fire. Take, for instance, God's revelation to Moses. It was in the burning bush, right? In leading the Hebrew people out of slavery from Egypt, God led them in the daytime with a pillar of cloud, but at night it was a pillar of fire. The image of fire is also used as a sign of God's glory in the book of Ezekiel and of God's holiness in the book of Deuteronomy. And there are lots more in the Old Testament. But let's go. Fire, we all know, is a primary sign and symbol of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. St. John the Baptist said that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire, he said. On the day of Pentecost, we know the great scene, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the disciples as tongues of fire, which came down to rest on their heads. Fire is what makes that gold or silver ring or necklace you have on shiny, because the metal has been superheated, and during that process, all of the impurities are burned away, and we're left with the shininess. Fire purifies, and it changes whatever it touches. Also, we talk about love as a fire. When you're in love, your heart is on fire, right? Not to mention creation itself was born from fire 13.8 billion years ago from the fiery love of God who wanted to share his love. In a sense, you and I ultimately come from that fiery beginning, that love of God. To allow yourself to be set on fire is a beautiful thing. Set on fire in your heart with the love of Jesus and your faith. To be authentically Catholic is to be an active and dedicated and energetic disciple of Jesus Christ. To have friendship with him. To talk to him. It's what we call prayer, right? To know him deeply and to love him passionately by striving to build up his kingdom, not our kingdoms, which will pass away. Remember, it is thy kingdom come, not my kingdom come. Now, if you and I choose to live our faith passively instead of passionately, if we live like it doesn't really matter, we become like those, you know, those artificial plants that you see in those dusty corners and office buildings and defunct malls. Right? From a distance, it might look, you know, okay, but we bear no fruit. We are sterile. We're actually not even alive, truly alive. A faith like this never, ever, ever lasts. It doesn't sustain us. It can't. And it never inspires anyone. So choose today not to be a lukewarm and complacent Catholic about the most important thing in your life, which is your relationship with God, your faith and love of Jesus. And yes, It is the most important thing. And if we don't see that, maybe we have become an apathetic, lukewarm Catholic. Not one person has ever been inspired by an apathetic Christian, right? It's true. Why bother at all? When was the last time you felt inspired when someone came up to you and they said, you know, I just really don't care. It doesn't make a difference. That's not inspiring. I wouldn't want to do whatever they're doing. The essence of Christian faith is first that love of Jesus, the Son of God and Savior of the world, a loyalty that takes precedence over every other relationship first. The love of God compels us to choose who will be first in our lives, because to replace any relationship or anything else above God is idolatry itself. But, one might ask, shouldn't I love my wife or husband or child or significant other, you know, more than God? The answer is no, absolutely not. God is love. It's not just a quality of God. It is God through and through. God is love. Love is who he is. And if you and I hope to possibly love another person, then you and I must love love first. We must love God first. Otherwise, we don't really know what love is if we don't love love first. And then when we get that relationship correct, all the rest will follow. All of one will follow. And we will then love our wife or husband or children or significant other even better and more because we love God first. I have come to set the earth on fire, Jesus says, and how I wish it were already blazing. Friends, this is an invitation to move out of a mediocre and lukewarm, a wet noodle existence to a life of a loving, radical Christian living. Because we are not called to be partly transformed or even mostly transformed. No, we are called to be blazing fires of faith, transformed by God to make a true difference in the world. And just as the bread and wine brought up at this Mass become totally and completely the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus for us, you and I likewise must be completely transformed by contact with this divine fire. We have the potential to become something totally new if we allow the spark of grace to ignite our souls. So how do we do that? How do we open ourselves to the fire of the Holy Spirit? Toward that end, I leave you with one lesson from the early church. Everyone says, you know, we should just get back to the faith of the early church. Well, friends, then be prepared to work, because it is not all rainbows and unicorns, okay? It requires real, substantial commitment. And that's how they spread the faith in the first place. So after Pentecost, this is what the first Christians did. The Bible says, quote, they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and the prayers. Four things that will still transform your life if you will let it. Still today, the teaching of the apostles, that's the study of our scriptures and the study of our church teaching, our faith. The second thing, the relationship with fellow disciples, the fellowship. You've already started that. You came today. We are together. Number three, partaking in the sacraments, especially the most holy Eucharist, which is what they called the breaking of the bread in the early church. And number four, the prayers. Prayer, talking with God. Friends, if you don't know already, our churches are open every day until we close. And if you go to daily mass, it's open to the end of that. And you can come in and be with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And whenever you see the red lamp that is lit, you know that Jesus is here. And if you come and pray with him, you will become like the flame in that lamp. You will be set on fire. Through these four indispensable things, God set our earliest Christians on fire with his love, and through them, the whole world, through the centuries. It is the reason you are here today, because they were not apathetic, lukewarm, or some wet noodle. And he can do the same with you and me. So let us run the race, encouraged by the saints, and fulfill Jesus' desire. If you are what you ought to be, you will set fire to all the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.